Hello, I'm Katie.
And I'm Leslie.
And we're all booked.
Welcome back to another episode of Sterling Municipal Library's podcast, where we talk to you about the books we'd like to recommend.
And Cherie is joining us with a book called Heroin Complex, right?
It is not
Heroin Complex.
Yes.
Heroin
Complex, yes.
Yes.
But her powers, let's get this straight right off the bat, aren't exactly super.
Well, let's get this straight right off the bat. The heroine that is the title is not so much the heroine of the book. She's the side note. The heroine is the sidekick. Mm-hmm. So, yes, the heroine of the book does have legit superpowers. They're just the heroine that you're referencing in the title is Evita Jupiter. And she does have a little bit of legit superpowers. Mostly what she has is iron discipline and super willpower.
Okay.
What kind of superpowers does she have?
She has weak telekinesis.
Okay.
That she doesn't talk about much because it's weak. And she doesn't use it much because it's weak, but she still manages to kick demon cupcake ass.
So kind of give us an idea for like the strength of her powers. Would she be able to levitate something from like, I don't know, 3 feet away? Like, does it just, is it kind of like the floating paperclip tricks with the magnets? Or
well, it's so seldom mentioned that she can sort of push things a little bit. And she does get a level up late in the book and use the powers for good. I mean, she is highly motivated to use her power, such as it is, for good. And her platform for good. She loves her city and she defends it. We're talking about the wrong character, though.
Okay. So let's talk about the main character then.
Okay, so here's the setup. There are two people in this book. This book is what would happen if you crossed Phil Coulton of the Avengers with Andy from The Devil Wears Prada.
Okay.
So it's a superhero story you never knew you needed in your life. Evie Tanaka and her best friend Annie Chang are 18 years old and a demon portal, the first demon portal, opens in San Francisco. And it spills forth demons and a little bit of powers. And Annie was one of the people who got superpowers. So Annie took her weak telekinesis and a huge amount of discipline and willpower and chutzpah and work, and Evita Jupiter, superhero, was born. And every time I read her name, I was going Avada Kedavra in my head. But the superhero name she chose is Evita or Evita Jupiter. So every superhero needs someone who can run their lives. So
handle
the hero
the logistics.
Handle the logistics so the hero can do the heroing
and stuff. No.
Someone's got to get that demon blood out of the thigh-high leather boots and make sure the bills get paid, and not to mention managing the superhero's social media presence and marketing.
Mm-hmm.
Enter Evie Tanaka. And Evie is the lifelong best friend. She's a superlative manager of superhero diva tantrums. And she's the grease that keeps the wheels rolling in Evita Jupiter Inc. Because, yes, she incorporated. The book is told in the first person from Evie's point of view. So Evie is who we're following
okay.
in this book.
Mm-hmm.
So Evie is really well paid. And even though the journalists who interview Evita Jupiter think Evie has the worst job in the history of the world, Evie is proud of her tantrum managing abilities. She stays in the background and she likes it that way. Until Evita is injured. She injures herself doing an excessive workout after defeating some demon cupcakes. Because, yes, there are demon cupcakes. You can see them right on the cover of the book.
I guess they're not for consumption then.
Not ideally, no. I mean, they were before the demons came through and imprinted upon them. But when a demon portal opens in a bakery, demon cupcakes happen. So Evita's injured. And the thing is, she's supposed to appear at a dinner that night and get an award. And she needs a substitute to go in her place. So Evie, my friend.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. Evie is asked to go in Evita's place. She caves because she's a lifelong best friend, even though she really, really doesn't want to. How can they possibly pull this off? Yeah, they wear the same size clothes and they're both Asian, but that's it. Remember, other people got some powers too. She cons a glamour out of a friend that'll last 3 hours, make her look like something else.
Oh, so very Cinderella vibes, sort of.
Little bit, but, you know, with magic. So while Evie is attending this dinner as Evita, demons attack, because of course they do. And then the whole city gets to see what Evie has been hiding, except they think she's Evita.
Interesting. Okay.
So did this feel, you mentioned like Phil Coulson, you mentioned Andy from The Devil Wears Prada. Which parts of each role did you see in this book?
The strong supporting backup player.
Mm-hmm.
That was Phil Coulson in The Avengers.
Mm-hmm.
The really good assistant with a really terrible, crappy boss from The Devil Wears Prada. Those were the two elements that I thought that came to mind that made me make
now,
that reference.
This sounds and looks like it's pretty lighthearted and fun. Is that the overall vibe with this book?
Yes, if you prefer your Save the World or at least the City stories to come lighthearted with some personal relationships, people you care about, and a bit of sexy times as well, then this is a book you want to consider.
Can you describe the cover for us? Because it's pretty bubbly.
There are two women on the cover, one above the title, one below. The one above the title is Evita Jupiter, wearing a black cat suit with said thigh-high leather black boots, kicking a demon cupcake. And below the title is presumably Evie, who is wearing a hoodie and a t-shirt and has a fireball hovering above her hand.
Oh.
So, hey.
Sounds like a pretty big giveaway.
Yes, a little spoiler.
Yes, I should have said the cover has a little bit of spoilers. It's a visual spoiler.
Oh, no, that's cool.
Yeah, I mean, they'd notice when they picked it up.
Exactly. I'm not too worried about that.
It's not a hidden spoiler that much. I mean, the events that I just talked about happened in the first, like, two chapters.
Do you get a sense of other people who inherited superpowers and what kinds of powers they got, or?
A little bit. There's Scott, who is Evie and Annie's childhood friend, and he was a really good friend to them growing up, but he is one of the few who does not call Evita Evita, and he has been ticked at her for a really long time and does not choose to have anything to do with her of his own free will, which is why when Evie says, "Hey, Scott, I need a glamour, my friend," she doesn't tell him why.
Is he the romantic interest?
And then there's Nate.
Oh.
Nate is a doctor and scientist who is attached to Evita Jupiter Inc. He is tall, he is hunky, he is nerdy.
And he's a doctor.
Well, or a medic at least. Yeah. I forget. He has credentials.
He's got McDreamy vibes.
Well, Nick has something going on.
All right.
And, you know, and then there's reference to another person from San Francisco who is a hero in another city.
Okay.
Because Evita ran her out of town, who has, I forget what her small power was, but she went off to Los Angeles because San Francisco ain't big enough for the two of us.
Okay.
Did you get a good sense of their relationship? Because it certainly seems from the way you describe it that it has probably shifted from the original. Talking about horrible boss is not really how you would normally describe your best friend.
Well, it's a little codependent because, at least at first, Evita has bought into her identity as a superhero and a defender of her city. And she needs to be that. She needs to be seen that way. And she needs to protect at all costs. And when something doesn't go her way, like she has this big, huge superhero fight during which a zit breaks out.
Oh my gosh.
And she reads the comments, which you never read the comments.
Should never read the comments.
Never read the comments. That
Except
sparks...
for the comments on our podcast, which I'm sure would be great if you left them.
By all means, comment on the podcast. But so... Evita reads the comments, loses her calm, and goes into a big old workout frenzy. Apparently, these types of tantrums, which is in capital letters when Evie talks about them, the Evita Jupiter tantrum, has a life cycle. And if it's interrupted at any point, it'll start over at the beginning. So you let it run its course, and she knows how to handle this and manage it exactly. So it doesn't bug her, really. She's like, this is just what she does. But I know how to handle her, because I'm that good.
Okay.
Evita has saved Evie at various points in their lives. From when they were 5 years old, she has stood up for her, defended her, stepped in at critical points in her life and been a good friend along the way. Things just aren't on a particularly healthy trajectory at the moment.
Yes, especially when ego comes into play. Mm-hmm. Is Evie expected to be on call 24/7?
You mean Evita?
No, I mean her assistant.
As an assistant, not as a superhero.
Yeah.
Well, Evie does have a home life. Evie has a sister named Beatrice who is 16 and very 16. And it's just the two of them. Evie and Evita are in their mid-20s at this point. They're about 26. And a lot of life has happened since they were 18 and superpowers came into the picture. But one thing that's happened is that Evie's parents are both out of the picture.
Okay.
Mom died. Dad ditched them. So Evie has been raising her sister alone for a bit of a time now. And 16 is a very interesting...
Difficult time, yes.
Yes. Yes. So Evie does have her own apartment. She has her sister who lives with her. And then there are boundary issues that crop up after Evie manifests superpowers in public, even though she's wearing Evita's face at the time. Mm-hmm. And Evita moves Evie and Beatrice into Evita's headquarters. And Evie's like, wait, what the hell, dude?
Yeah.
So.
Can you describe the headquarters?
I should be able to because it's described in the book.
Or is it basically a stereotypical lab, you know?
No, it's a big house.
Okay.
It is big for San Francisco. The second floor has a gym. There's a basement, which is where the scientist lab is. There's a gym. There are bedrooms. There's a kitchen around there somewhere. So
maybe just like a normal house, just for very large. for
I'm sort
for
of
San
picturing
Francisco.
One of those Victorians in,
yeah, okay.
In San Francisco in my head. When
yeah, not like Avengers it. Tower, but they have like a base of operations.
They have a base of operations, yeah. But it's a house rather than Avengers Tower
okay.
or S.H.I.E.L.D. headquarters or mm-hmm.
anything
like that.
Anything super like corporate.
It is not a modern building. No.
How frequently are catastrophes and stuff occurring?
In this book, which is... 376 pages, but reads really, really, really fast. There's a lot of disasters. I mean, there's like several demon portals that pop up and a plot to take over the city is uncovered and needs to be addressed. And
it feels like if you can employ a full-time superhero, then you have a lot of issues.
Yes. Yeah.
And between the chapters, you get blog posts from Maisie, the wannabe BFF for Evita. She's an apparently fangirl blogger who really wants to pretend she's in the know with Evita. And Maisie's BFF, who runs a lingerie store with a really tacky name, who puts a comment at the bottom that's just always tacky. And so those are the between chapter
updates, from the
breakdowns.
Other perspectives.
From another perspective, yes.
Oh, that's kind of fun.
Yeah, I like the idea of throwing in just the occasional, especially because a superhero, especially in this book, is a public figure almost, like throwing in someone else's like perspective of what they're doing and how they're...
Although the superhero is the public figure, and by the way, let's just say that impersonating Evita at a dinner was only the beginning because that injury took a while to heal.
Mm.
Also... though, anytime you impersonate someone forever, it's kind of unsustainable,
right?
Mm-hmm. So a lot more time is spent on the back side than mm-hmm. on the we are fighting demons side. I mean, yes, you're fighting demons, but someone forgot to get the groceries. And then you've still got the 16-year-old sister you're trying to raise. And so there's a lot. It's first person from Evie's perspective most of the time. So you're seeing a lot inside Evie's head.
Mm-hmm.
And Evie has some things to figure out for herself.
Yeah.
Does Evita ever take over Evie's role? Like, does she start doing, like, the logistics of being a superhero? Or is Evie still kind of, she's working as both of them?
She's kind of needing to do a lot. Evie is kind of needing to do a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And Evita is kind of having a reality check. Remember how she didn't like competition to be San Francisco's favorite superhero way back when she first started doing this?
Mm-hmm.
Well, she... still
struggling with that.
She's struggling with a lot because I briefly touched on the fact that Evita / Annie Chang and Evie Tanaka are both Asian, right? I should say the author is also Asian, Sarah Kuhn. The expectations for Annie Chang growing up were not you're going to be a superhero and save people. They were more like go be a doctor. Or mm-hmm. go be a something more traditional. And that was what her parents expected. And her parents, when I say her here, I mean Annie's parents. Annie has never really gotten much approval from them. So she really, really loves the approval from her fans as the defending superheroine of San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
Really a lot. So if or when that's threatened for any reason, she has some personal growth opportunities.
Okay. Is it a spoiler to find out why these demon portals have just, like, started popping up?
Yes.
Okay.
It's kind of...
But it is explained?
It is central to the okay. main conflict of the book and central to said saving of San Francisco.
Okay.
So I'm not going to say why those started popping up.
That's fair.
And there is a second book in the series, I believe. There's more. Oh, my gosh. They just keep happening.
There are more.
Are they following the same people or...
This is really neat. I liked this book a lot, and I mm-hmm. read the sequels back when they first came out.
Mm-hmm.
At first, it was going to be a trilogy. The first book from Evie's perspective, the second one from Evita's perspective,
mm-hmm.
and the third one from Beatrice's perspective.
Okay.
Well, now there's a fourth one, and it's coming back to Evie years later, and mm-hmm. that's, I think, coming out about now.
Oh, okay. Awesome. Okay.
So they're... Because they follow different characters, you possibly could read them out of order, but I wouldn't recommend it because they do seem to be chronological.
Yeah.
So I'm sure that although you're in a different character's head, they're going to reference events and things that you would
right.
have learned about
mm-hmm.
in the other book.
I was really thrown off on that.
Yeah,
I didn't
me too.
Realize there were four of them.
Well, I mean, four is brand new. The fourth one is
yes.
just now coming out.
Yeah.
So it was three, now it's four. Mm-hmm. I was reminded of this series when I read the review for the fourth book and I said, ooh, 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 I want to reread that. And I'm so glad I did.
So what kind of reader would you recommend this series to?
If you are a superhero fan,
mm-hmm.
if you like to see you're saving the world with a lighter side, if you don't need your potential danger to the world to be all apocalyptic and grim every second, you need to not be overly offended by really tacky, occasionally crass jokes. And there is some moderately steamy, sexy times. Where appropriate.
Do you think it would appeal to, like, chicklet readers?
It would appeal to chicklet readers who are not turned off by the fantasy elements.
Okay.
Because,
yes.
I mean, you've got superpowers in there.
Right.
You've got a demon portal.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, yes, if you like chick lit, if you
a
like...
a little slice of life rom-com-esque vibe.
Yes. If you're not going to be offended that your superheroes have a side element of personal growth and relationships, because that's there as well.
Yeah.
Right.
And integral to the story.
So this could maybe serve as like a good bridge for people who usually enjoy maybe just a normal old rom-com, who maybe want to try to venture into fantasy, sci-fi-esque like type concepts.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, yes. When you say fantasy and sci-fi-esque, if you're looking for spaceships and big space battles,
yes.
this is not it.
That's why it's like a good bridge, because it's a very mild, like, they're superheroes, but mostly it's just people who are trying to figure themselves out.
Figure themselves out and be heroes and defend and protect the people they care about. Yes, and definitely there is more lightness than not. For myself as a reader, I don't enjoy depressing slogs through miserably excruciating personal development or devolvement.
It's no Cormac McCarthy's The Road.
No, absolutely not. This book, it's a paperback, and it's, I know I said, what, 300 and something pages, but I read it in about a day and a half. It is very easy to read, and you don't have to read it deeply. You can skim it and enjoy it. You can choose to skip some of the elements if you want to.
This was one of my Hurricane Harvey reads.
Oh, really?
I checked out a handful of books, and this was one of them. And it was a good, you know, I know electricity sitting by a window. It was a good way to take my mind off of the fact that.
I will say that I like resolved endings, and I prefer that things have happy endings, and I was pleased with this book.
Thank you so much for joining us, and stay tuned next week for more fantastic book recommendations.
Bye.